Good morning. This is Kelly Schwinghammer, and I'm the communications director of the Blue Green Alliance. Welcome to our call today to discuss the Blue Green Alliance's clean energy jobs agenda for the remainder of 2010. I'd like to take the opportunity to turn it over to David Foster, executive director of the Blue Green Alliance.
Thank you very much, Kelly, and welcome to all of you to our press conference call. About seven quick steps that can be taken in the lame duck session to put Americans back to work. The Blue-Green Alliance, first a word about our organization, is a strategic partnership of nine American unions and four national environmental organizations. Collectively, the Blue-Green Alliance represents almost 14 million Americans. As we're all aware, the United States went through an important election some 10 days ago. And exit polls showed that many Americans wanted the federal government to spend money on jobs and the economy. In fact, as many as expressed an interest about cutting spending. Overarching concern, of course, on American voters was we need to solve America's critical unemployment crisis. We need immediate measures that are going to put Americans back to work, and we need those measures to be important in improving the long-term competitiveness of our economy. For those reasons, as members of Congress are heading back to Washington this week for the lame duck session, the 13 labor and environmental partners of the Blue-Green Alliance are urging immediate passage of critical policies that will create those jobs and position the U.S. to compete better in the global clean energy economy. We are advising Congress to move forward on seven largely bipartisan efforts that have shown the ability to attract support across the aisle. Those include immediate passage of a federal renewable electricity standard based on Senators Bingaman and Brownback's legislation, the passage of Homestar and Building Star energy efficiency programs that have proven the capacity to save both commercial real estate owners and residents money on their energy bills while creating almost 400,000 jobs, including and expanding the existing advanced energy manufacturing tax credits, the advanced vehicle manufacturing loans that have been so effective in helping build and restructure the automotive industry, and advancing investments in clean water and drinking water infrastructure programs that are proven job creators and an important part of a successful industrial society. And finally, passage of improvements in workers' safety and health on the job, as we've seen an epidemic of workplace deaths and accidents this year, strikingly symbolized by the explosions in the Massey coal mines and on the BP oil rigs. So with these seven important steps, America could take immediate action on putting hundreds of thousands of people back to work, making our economy more competitive, and solving the real issues that Americans are so disturbed about. Now, I'm joined today by three of the leaders of the Blue-Green Alliance, Leo Gerard, the International President of the United Steelworkers, Kevin Knobloch, President of the Union of Concerned Scientists, and Bob King, President of the United Auto Workers. And now I'd like to turn it over for a few comments to Leo Gerard of the United Steelworkers. Leo?
Thanks, David. Let me just say that our union as a founding partner of Blue-Green Alliance is really concerned that we have here a terrific opportunity to move forward in a bipartisan fashion that would be legislation that has already been endorsed in a bipartisan fashion to create jobs. Renewable energy standard has the ability to create tens of thousands of jobs over an extended period of time. The Homestar program that David referred to has the capacity to do a number of things, as would industrial retrofitting that would be similar to this, where we would actually take carbon out of the atmosphere, reduce the amount of energy that people need, make buildings more efficient and less costly to operate, whether they're apartment buildings or office complexes, so that that would be a direct saving to the folks that use these utilities. And it would put tens of thousands thousands of people to work using new modern glass, new modern air handling equipment, and again, could be done in a way that enhances and supports domestic manufacturing. We've been advocating for quite some time a large expansion of the Advanced Energy Tax Credit, commonly referred to as 48C. And certainly for one of the concerns our union had is that there was a lot of money put forward to stand up renewable energy farms, whether it's solar, wind, and geothermal, etc. But there wasn't a lot of money put into enhanced domestic manufacturing. Here we think that there's still a lot of money that's committed to standing up renewable energy projects, but not sufficient money to stand up an advanced manufacturing tax credit. And again, that that provision was endorsed in a bipartisan way, along with Democrats and Senator both Bingham and Snow, as well as Sherrod Brown's STEAM Act, that would make that manufacturing have a domestic focus. So that I'll let my friends talk about some of the other ones, but I do want to make some comment about the Miner Safety and Health Act. And doing that, we believe that enhancing occupational health and safety would not only be the right thing to do for workers, and certainly in the memory of Senator Byrd, but it would also be the right thing to do because as we enhance occupational health and safety, that we would make our workplaces safer and more efficient. And again, that would be a good tool for creating jobs. Let me just say that I believe that, as do many, many tens of thousands of our members, if not almost unanimous, that this most recent election was a expression of Middle America's frustration with the lack of industrial strategy, the lack of a comprehensive job strategy, the frustration with unfair trade deals that have caused unbelievable amounts of unemployment, while at the same time, in exit poll after exit poll, Middle American families crying out for job creation strategies. And these are three that I commented on, four if we count health and safety, that have the ability to get jobs going right away, and they've shown bipartisan support. So that this is what America wants, and if we're talking about bipartisan support, we shouldn't get distracted by other unnecessary debates, but here's one where there's bipartisan support and we can create jobs. So I would like now, David, to turn it over to Bob King, I think, or whoever's the next speaker.
Kevin Matlack, president of the Union of Concerned Scientists, will speak next. Kevin.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Leo. It's a privilege to be joining with David, Leo, Bob, really just far-sighted, dedicated labor leaders in endorsing these seven simple steps. Americans are hurting, and the administration and the Congress have, I think, a deep responsibility to swiftly pass legislation that puts people to work and that addresses the urgent problem of global warming. This lame duck session does not have to be lame. In fact, it can be wise, productive, and responsive to what Leo was noting the American electorate wants. And I want to especially make this point that job creation, global warming, and clean energy are not and should never be partisan issues. And this was really underscored in this midterm election in California by the resounding rejection by Californians of Proposition 23, which would have eviscerated the landmark AB 32 California climate legislation. Governor Schwarzenegger, one of the leading Republicans nationally, fought hard to defeat that and to protect what will be one of his big legacies in California, responsibly addressing climate change. If the Congress considers what policy options would, one, strengthen our economy, by making us more efficient and less dependent on oil. Two, better equip U.S. companies and workers to compete in the global clean energy economy. Three, create quality essential jobs. And four, address the problem, of climate change, which brings with it enormous costs of inaction. That is, if we don't respond to that problem right now, we will be facing much larger costs to deal with it later. If Congress asks what are the policies that would respond to those set of goals, I don't know that you could assemble a stronger set of these seven specific policies. And just briefly on a couple of them, the renewable electricity standard. First of all, it's the Bingaman Brownback legislation that is most probably stands the best chance of passage is completely bipartisan, and it really builds on the success in 29 states that have passed state renewable electricity standards, and in every one of those states having great success driving the growth of this sector, creating jobs, from pouring concrete to maintaining and repairing machinery, and expanding tax revenues for struggling communities, struggling to provide education and health care and so on. And we know from that hard and direct experience that passing a national standard, even when it's at 15%, which is what Bingaman Brownback would do, would both save consumers and businesses enormous amounts of money on their electricity and natural gas bills and create, as Leo said, tens of thousands and possibly hundreds of thousands new quality jobs. The auto loan piece is also something we strongly support, the Advanced Technology Vehicle Manufacturing Loans, which would provide loan guarantees to help automakers retool manufacturing plants in the U.S. to build fuel-efficient vehicles. And if you combine that policy with the strong fleet-wide fuel efficiency and tailpipe pollution standards, which are now on the books, now the law of the land, these loan guarantees can save consumers money at the pump, curb global warming, and cut our country's oil dependence. The existing program for these loans has been successful in providing needed loans to build new advanced vehicles. We do need some changes to update the program to make it easier for parts suppliers and truck manufacturers to get involved. And most importantly, Congress needs to provide additional funding to keep this program running. And lastly, I would just really underscore that the Home Star, Building Star, the energy efficiency provisions. We in America are twice as wasteful, half as efficient per capita as our counterparts in Europe and Japan, who enjoy a comparable quality of life. And what that means is that our companies and our workers have to basically work twice as hard to produce the same efficient washer dryers and heating cooling systems. And that's like a big tax on our companies as we try to sell into the international market. That also means there's huge savings to be secured by aggressively moving to retrofit the building, the homes and business buildings across this country. And that, of course, brings with it great jobs. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Kevin. And lastly, I'd like to introduce Bob King, the president of the United Auto Workers.
Dave and Leo and Kevin have done a great job of kind of outlining our joint position on these issues. I guess I want to comment a little bit on the advanced technical vehicle manufacturing loans. And just in general, these elections were a time of great polarization and great division, and here's an opportunity for our country to come together on issues that have had bipartisan support in the past and have been introduced in a bipartisan way. So I think this is a great opportunity to show the American people that we are concerned most about jobs, and all of these initiatives will create jobs. The advanced technical vehicle manufacturing loans have been very successful in creating jobs. And my home state of Michigan, there are a number of new battery facilities that have gone up and jobs that are being created, and all the companies that we're dealing with are really come back strongly because there was good bipartisan support in some cases to help these companies, and they've been a huge success providing many jobs, hiring tens of thousands of workers, giving them jobs back that we so desperately need in this economy, and putting more funding into these loans, I think, is extremely important for additional jobs and for the environment. So I think this is a great opportunity for us and hopefully for Congress to come together and pass some bills that will really help put workers back to work.
Great. Thanks a lot, Bob. And we will now open it up for questions for the members of our panel. Kelly?
May I ask for the operator to come on?
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that is star 1 for any questions. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster.
Hello.
And your first question from the line of Amanda DeBoer.
I just wanted to get an idea of the do you think Congress can realistically pass all these things in the short lame duck session? And if not, do you think that maybe the beginning of next session might be another opportunity to take up these proposals?
It's Leo Gerard. Let me jump in real quickly. I think that it's imperative that Congress gets to work on job creation. And every one of the items that we've outlined in these 7 points would be a positive step in jump-starting job creation. And I think if they spend their time on other foolishness, then that will be a clear statement. The Republican minority for the last 2 years has done everything they can to prevent job creation. Hopefully now that the election's over, we can see a change in attitude, because the real unemployment rate is closer to 17% than 9% when you take into account the folks that have given up looking for work and those that are on less than 24 hours a week involuntarily. So it's my desire that we ought to push forward as aggressively as we can. All of us that are concerned about the economy ought to be pushing the House and Senate to move as quickly as they can on this, and they should pass as many of these 7 as possible as quickly as they can possibly pass it. As Kevin said, there's nothing controversial here. This is all stuff that America needs to be an advanced society. It's all stuff that America needs to put people back to work. And if they don't work on this kind of stuff, I would certainly be concerned about what's going to happen in the next session.
This is Kevin. If I may, I jump in. It's hard to see that, given the primary message of this midterm election across the political spectrum was deep anxiety about unemployment and underemployment, as Leo said, and a demand of the administration and the Congress to get to work on job creation. That was the primary message. And it's hard to see that if they divert it to trying to get extend tax breaks for the wealthiest among us, and or spend time on the debt extension, the debt ceiling extension, and other things like that, and don't get to these very specific 7 pieces, it will not be a responsible reaction to the election.
And this is Dave Foster. I would just add that these are proven job-creating measures. These aren't proposals that haven't already stood the test of proving that they can create employment, create good jobs. The 48C and 1603 tax credit programs, the advanced technology vehicle manufacturing loans, tens and tens of thousands of jobs created by these programs. Homestar, BuildingStar, the residential and commercial weatherization programs, proven to be able to create tens of thousands of jobs. These are exactly the kinds of steps that Americans know work, and that's what they want to see their Congress get the work doing. next question.
And our next question from the line of James Jimnick from Platt.
Hey, thanks for having this call. On RDS, I know that there have been some Republicans who have said in the past that they support it and are even co-sponsors of the Bingaman Brownback bill, but, you know, even some of them have started saying, well, they want, you know, a longer debate process, and they're sort of signaling that they're not willing to support the bill quickly, and that's a criteria for the majority. So, you know, what hope really do you have that that's going to happen in the next few weeks? Are you in touch specifically with Reid's office, and have they said that they really will bring this to the floor? And if it doesn't happen this year, you know, what will your strategy be in the new Congress for trying to get that done?
Well, this is Dave Foster. I'll kick that off. I think people are coming back. Members of Congress are coming back from some weeks in their congressional districts. They're coming back with an interpretation of what American voters had to say in this election. I think to us it's very clear that American voters were saying we want to see a productive Congress that creates jobs and solves our long-term economic problems. As Kevin Knobloch mentioned, for the first time in history, anywhere, voters actually directly weighed in on the question of whether strategies of clean energy investments were creating jobs. They were asked in a referendum in California on that question, and they overwhelmingly said, we believe this is the way you create jobs in the 21st century America. And so on this first day of the lame duck session, we strongly believe that it's time that American members of Congress take stock of what the electorate was saying, that they put aside any preconceptions that they may have had going into that election, that they look closely at what American voters were saying, and they were saying loudly and unequivocally, we want jobs and we want a competitive economy. And these are seven steps that members of Congress can take to answer that call.
Yeah, I'm sorry, just a quick follow-up. I think the signals that have been coming from the leader's office have been that a big, ambitious piece like an RES is going to be challenging, just pretty much impossible this next 4 weeks. Why push for something like that rather than just paring down, you know, your wish list and really focusing on a couple of things that, you know, have passed a little more easily in the past?
Look, and I think that Leo Gerard, I think that the thing that we need to understand that America's falling behind the rest of the world. And I'll come at this from two points of view. One, first and foremost, is the issue of climate change. The issue of climate change is real, and the way to deal with climate change is by doing the kind of stuff that will give us, as the euphemistically say, more than one bottom line. And all of the items that we've outlined today are items that will improve the American reputation on climate change, as well as improving minimizing the damage we're doing to the environment. Along with that, these are proven methods of creating jobs. You talk about the renewable energy standard. Kevin might correct me, or David, I'm not sure. I think we have 26 or 27 states that have already passed a renewable energy standard. And what if we don't do this in a coordinated fashion, we'll end up with a hodgepodge of different standards. We have an energy grid that's inefficient. If the energy grid loses between 10 and 20% of the energy we put on the grid, so we can generate more energy, put it on a failed grid that will lose the energy. We've got an obligation, not just to this generation, but to the next generation, to be at the forefront of creating the new energy, the new economy jobs. And I don't think we ought to pick the least controversial. I think we ought to pick the things that will create jobs. And at least the first three, if not four, of these things have already proven to have bipartisan support. And if they get brought up quickly, and one side or the other doesn't support it, it's not going to be too long to the next election cycle. And this election, no matter what the talking heads and the pundits say, this election was about jobs. It's about the frustration in middle America, about the lack of job creation. And if we don't start to lead on this stuff, we'll have to start to import more cars from Korea or more wind turbines from China and all of that technology, whether it's for the advanced technology for vehicles, wind turbines, that technology was first introduced and perfected in America. And because we've had a inability to move ahead politically with the strategy, we've lost almost 7 million manufacturing jobs in the last 10 years. And that's just not acceptable. And I don't intend, as the head of the Steelworkers Union, take the path of least resistance. I'm going to take the path of most jobs.
And this is Kevin. I'm sorry, go ahead, Bob.
I just want to jump in on what Rio said. I was with international leaders from around the world Monday and Tuesday of last week in the auto industry, union leaders, and every other country in the world is doing far more than we are in the U.S. in advanced vehicle manufacturing and battery technology and wind technology. It just makes me both angry and concerned. If we want to be a globally competitive economy, if we want the United States to be strong, we have to put a lot more energy and resources in the green technologies. And so I think we need to challenge this Congress and the next Congress that we have to begin doing this, because we are losing our competitiveness globally because we're not putting money into the infrastructure, we're not putting money into the grid, we're not putting money into the new technologies. China is putting 10 times the amount of money into the development of these technologies that we are. How are we possibly going to remain a force for peace and justice in the world, democracy in the world, if we fall so far behind? Europe is putting much more resources and energy. Korea, the same thing. So we have to create a real urgency starting right now with this lame duck session, that we have to move in these areas if we want to keep the United States as a strong nation.
This is Kevin. I just wanted to underscore that these are well, what David said, these are well-vetted policies and proposals, and there's no reason why the Congress can't move within the lame duck to get them done. The renewable electricity standard, Leo, it's 29 states have adopted state renewable electricity standards and have deep experience on them, and that led those 29 governors in September to write to the Senate leadership, both on both sides of the aisle, asking for a national standard. And then, of course, the renewable electricity standard was included in the Waxman-Markey climate bill that passed the House last year and has been debated and voted on several times in both the House and the Senate. Highly well vetted and with real world deep experience. There's no reason to debate further.
And let me just make one more point with this, and maybe very pointed point. I'm a religious person that grew up in a religious family, but contrary to what some Republicans may think, I don't believe that God's going to step in and fix global warming. I think we've got to step in and do something about it, and the best way to start doing the right thing about it is tackling global warming as you create jobs. And I think this is an absolute first step that is constructive and has bipartisan support for the majority of the ideas we've been putting forward.
Great. Next question.
And once again, to ask a question or make a comment, that is star one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from Sean Higgins from Investor Business Daily.
Yes, thank you. I was curious if any of you thought the Senate during the lame duck session would get around to Senator Rockefeller's proposed moratorium on EPA regulations for greenhouse gases.
This is Dave Foster. I jump in on that. I don't think we have any way of particularly predicting that, but I do think we strongly think that the focus of this lame duck session has got to be on job creation, and consequently focusing in on voting on issues that will have the direct effect of creating jobs is the number one issue that we see in front of this lame duck session. We have 30 million people in America today who need jobs, who want jobs. They are waiting on this Congress to act every night when they go to bed, wanting to wake up in the morning and seeing that new concrete steps have been taken to put them back to work. we can't overstate the importance of having a lame duck session that is all about the importance of putting Americans back to work and putting them back to work in an economy that will be competitive for the generation of their children. That's what this Congress has got to focus on.
You don't agree with Greed and Terry when the regulations are potential job killers?
Well, this is Kevin. I would point out that over the 40-year life of the Clean Air Act, our national gross domestic product has risen by 207%. All the while, and I'm quoting numbers from EPA Administrator Jackson, preventing 200,000 premature deaths, 672,000 cases of chronic bronchitis, 18 million childhood respiratory diseases, and so on. A whole litany of benefits. And those, you know, by preventing those benefits, you're preventing lost worker productivity days and making for a healthier, more productive citizenry. So it's really, our sort of sober assessment of the Clean Air Act is it has been a highly successful act in both making us a healthier people, but also allowing, you know, cleaning up our energy sources in a way that allows the economy to grow quite robustly.
I think we have time for one more question.
And your next question from the line of Simon Lomax from Bloomberg News.
I actually wanted to know about the EPA delay legislation from Senator Rockefeller as well, since he said before the election that he'd been promised a vote on this. I wondered if you all, putting aside whether you predict it'll come up or not, do you think it should come up, and do you think it should pass or fail?
Well, again, this is Dave Foster repeating what we said earlier, that we think there's an overriding concern in America today around jobs and job creation, and getting diverted into issues relating to anything from the Bush tax cuts to other issues is really missing the boat of what American voters want and need. We have very clear job-creating proposals that, as Kevin Knobloch said, are well-vetted. They're bipartisan. They've been proven to work. They're issues that Congress can and should be devoting the majority of their time to between now and the end of the 111th Congress. We should walk into the year 2012 knowing that hundreds of thousands of Americans are going to go back to work in construction, manufacturing, providing clean energy services, building the infrastructure for keeping our clean water, drinking water safe. All of those kinds of investments that are the things that Americans expect Congress to be promoting, put those 30 million Americans back on punching time clocks instead of collecting unemployment checks. That's the focus of this Congress, and that's what we are strongly urging them to spend their remaining time on.
Well, does that then mean, I mean, has that been an endorsement of EPA moving ahead as planned? Because, you know, if there isn't any legislation, the EPA's regulations come into effect in January. So if they don't deal with the Rockefeller bill before the end of the year, EPA's regulations go into effect as planned. So are you saying then that you're okay with EPA moving ahead?
Well, the EPA has a process for considering greenhouse gas regulation, an authority that was given them by the Supreme Court. There's a variety of mechanisms by which the public and industry, various NGOs can weigh in and discuss those issues. We're actively involved in looking at all aspects of those issues, but we think strongly that the focus of this lame duck session ought to be on job creation. That's what the American people want. Everything else is a distraction at this point, but there are clear processes by which issues related to EPA regulation can be weighed in on, and we have lots of ideas on that, but not in the lame duck session. Any other comments? Okay, thank you very much. That was our last question. We appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about the important issues that are facing American people as Congress comes back in session for its lame duck of the 111th Congress. As we said before, 7 simple steps that can be adopted by this Congress to put Americans back to work. We urge that votes be taken on these subjects. They will be a great Christmas welcome to millions of Americans if they know their Congress is focused on the issues that matter to all of us. Thank you very much, and special thanks to the leaders of the Blue-Green Alliance, Leo Gerard from the United Steelworkers, Kevin Knobloch, Union of Concerned Scientists, and Bob King from the United Auto Workers for participating today. Appreciate all of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference call. At this time, you may now disconnect. Leaders, please stand by.